People have an interest in the idea of Jesus' second coming because there has been a group of Christians professing that May 21st is going to be the end of the world. But we know May 21st has passed and their prediction has changed to October 21st now. So even on Google, a lot of people have been typing in Jesus' second coming because they're now interested. They want to know more about it. And part of second coming is millennium. And so people are wondering, what is millennium exactly? And they're wondering about the state of the dead people right now.
The Bible mentions it 1,000 years, not a millennium. And I think in Revelation 20 verse 4, I think that's the first time the Bible talks of the 1,000 years. Actually verse 2. But it's okay. Oh, are we going to look at verse 2? But it just says, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is a devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Can we go verse 4? That's a weird verse. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither him his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So Bible speaks of this mysterious 1,000 years that there are people who are going to live and reign with Christ. Mm. So now, what do you guys think the 1,000 years is in your perspective, your own perspective?
Well, before we talk about 1,000 years, you know, you said that during the 1,000 years they reign with Christ in heaven, right?
Yeah.
So,
Bible doesn't specifically say in heaven or on earth. Mm. Now, that's actually important because there are two common beliefs. Number one, that Christ is going to reign over this earth with the saints on this earth.
Okay.
Or is it going to be that Christ is going to reign on heaven with the saints there?
Mm.
And so that's something that, yes, that's something that we're going to have to settle out. Mm-hmm. And we're going to place it on the table and see what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. But first,
we should discuss before what
happened. Right, exactly. Something that I can think of right off the top of my head, what exactly it is going to tell us if they're on the earth or on heaven, is studying the topic of resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask Heejoo, if you can take it away, about...
I don't know why you said it has to be about resurrection.
Okay, because when does the resurrection actually take place?
What kind of resurrection are you talking about? Like, are you talking about Jesus' resurrection, or... What I was going to bring up was that before the millennium, there has to be, you know, that before the millennium happens, Jesus has to come. Mm-hmm. And when Jesus comes, the events that takes place, you know, that's what I wanted to talk about before we go into the subject of millennium. But why I wanted to ask you guys what millennium is, because I just wanted to know your opinions, if you have ever heard of the millennium or like 1,000 years. Okay, since
Nope, never heard.
Okay.
Until I got into this.
All right. After Jesus comes, when Jesus comes, there's going to be, you know, resurrection taking place, since we brought up the subject. And if we go to John 5, verse 29, it says, Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So here it says there's going to be two resurrections, the resurrection of life and resurrection of damnation.
So many Christians believe that after you die, you just go to heaven, but that's a false teaching.
Yeah,
because it's talking about a resurrection, and it's saying that the resurrection will happen when Jesus is gonna come down.
Well, it doesn't specifically say when this resurrection is going to take place, but then Jesus does specify that there are two resurrections. Resurrection of life.
Actually, it does specifically say, it says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. And I think the hour is coming, what they're talking about in the context here is a when Son of Man returns.
In the context, it may be, but then, like, just looking at that text, I mean, I can think of other verses in the Bible when it speaks mm-hmm. about revelation or resurrection, say, for example, 1 Corinthians 15 or 1 Thessalonians 4, when the mm-hmm. righteous are resurrected. But then what we do have to find out or specify right from the outset is that there are such things as two resurrections, mm-hmm. and they can't both take place
at the same time.
At the same mm-hmm. time, right? Because if Jesus does specify there are two specific resurrections, but if they're taking place at the same time, then it's just one.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Well, you know, what Christian people say is like, oh, my grandmother died, but she was with Christ, so she's in heaven. That's mm-hmm. false. Like, they have to wait until Jesus comes in order for her to go to heaven and be resurrected.
So I think in many Christians' mind, or, you know, I guess the doctrines, I think we have a different... Or not different, we have some, and many Christians have the wrong, dare mm-hmm. I say, wrong, you know, mindset, no, not mindset, or teachings about the state of the dead, you know. So, you know, like Michelle, you said, like, you know, when a person dies, either they go to heaven or hell. And there is a heaven right now, and then there is a hell right now. Is that what, you know, people believe in? And
yes.
And then there are people like burning in the fiery
yes.
hell right now. So, however, here when Jesus talks about, you know, the two resurrections, resurrection of life and resurrection of the wicked, mm-hmm. and even biblically we know that that is not true. And that's another subject that we can talk about later on, the state of the dead. But right now, just to, you know, because we're concentrating on the topic of millennia, so we just want to move on. State of the dead, just simply put it, after you die, you go to sleep. That's what the Bible says. Do you guys know any text that it says, like, you know, if you die, you go to sleep?
Oh, yeah, I could think of a few, but one thing that comes immediately to mind is mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes 9:5 that mm-hmm. says that the dead know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Doesn't say they go to sleep, though.
Yeah, but then there are other instances, like, for example, in the book of Acts, I think it's chapter 9.
I can check for you.
Yeah, but then where it speaks of when Stephen saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and then the Jews took up stones and stoned him. The Bible says
chapter 7.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 9 is when Saul, who was witnessing
mm-hmm.
he was converted as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
But
becomes Paul.
Yes, eventually becomes Paul. And he looks up into heaven, and the Bible says that he gives up the ghost, and he fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Also, if you look in all throughout Chronicles, Samuel's, the language is there.
Yeah, everyone says
they slept with their fathers
yeah.
and so forth.
Not only that, if you actually look at it, and it's a common sense, because why would Jesus resurrect two resurrection? Why would he resurrect if there's no one to resurrect? If they are already
yeah,
dead, and
exactly.
if they are already in heaven or
yeah.
hell, he has no one to resurrect.
Yeah, exactly.
Even
well, I have heard it said that the soul first goes up to heaven and is together with God, but eventually he comes to take the body.
Mm.
And he gives him a new glorified body.
The separation of the soul
yes.
and the body, okay. And then that is a wrong doctrine, too.
Yes,
that's
but then
okay,
just...
So.
But even just thinking about that, let's say that does take place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. if that does take place, then think about it. Let's look at Lazarus, you know.
Okay, Jesus, I think we should talk about the state. I know we are excited about the state of the dead, but we have a much more content to go about the thousand years.
That's right.
Yeah, we should calm down. okay, so we are going to go over the state of the dead, but right now what Bible says, but Bible clearly says, is that when you die, you go to sleep, not heaven or hell, okay? You go to sleep means just, you know, it's not the separation of the soul and the body or anything, but it just, you know, you go to sleep as in like you're asleep, you know? Mm-hmm. And the two resurrection, let's go back to the resurrection, and it says the resurrection of life and resurrection of the damnation. Mm-hmm. Now let's look at what resurrection of life means. If we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it talks about the resurrection of the righteous. The verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now that's dead in Christ shall rise first. Now verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now here, let me, I can't illustrate it, but let me put it this way. So there's a dead people in Christ, and they're going to be resurrected at the coming of mm-hmm. the Lord. And the living of the righteous, the righteous living, who are still mm-hmm. living at the time, are going to be caught up with them in the air, and then they're going to be with the Lord mm-hmm. forevermore. That's what it's saying. So mm-hmm. that's the resurrection of life, resurrection of the righteous. Now let's look at the second resurrection of the damnation, the resurrection of the wicked, I guess, or no, that's not what we're
yeah, well, yeah. One other thing one other thing that I'm thinking of while we're on the topic is when Jesus comes, 1 Thessalonians does not speak anything about resurrection of damnation. Mm. As a matter of fact, it only speaks about two groups of people. Mm-hmm. You see, there are four groups of people in the world. Mm-hmm. There's the righteous wicked. No,
righteous wicked. Oxymoron. Okay.
There's the righteous living. There's the righteous dead. Mm-hmm. Wicked living, wicked dead. Okay, there are four types of people mm-hmm. in the world. Let's see if we could. It just so happens that we have four people here. Let's see if we can represent each person here with a category.
Righteous living.
Okay, you can be righteous living, you can be righteous dead. We'll be the wicked. wicked dead, wicked living, okay? Mm-hmm. So when Jesus comes, you and Stephen, you will be resurrected, or Stephen will be resurrected, mm-hmm. but then you will be in the rare category to be actually never have tasted death. But then now we're in the category of where we have died. Mm-hmm. And now if time is progressing this way, Jesus has already resurrected and taken you all to heaven. Mm-hmm.
You haven't died.
Yeah, no, I haven't died yet. Yeah. I haven't died yet, right?
I have died. Yeah.
She's mm-hmm. died. She's dead. But we're both wicked.
Yes.
But then at the coming of Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. The Bible says that it's going to be so glorious that even the wicked will die at mm-hmm. his coming.
Yeah, I know a verse about that. Jeremiah 25, verse 31 through 33. Yeah, it talks about the wicked will die. Alright. A noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented, neither gathered, nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground.
Mm. Yeah, so the Bible says that they are like dung. And think about it. We've always likened the coming of Jesus to be like nobody can see the glory of God because it's so glorious. And we, if we accustom ourselves to seeing this great light little bits at a time, our eyes become accustomed to it. But then for those who have not been taking the time to see God every day, eventually the time will come when God will reveal His glory to this earth. And all the wicked can say is to the rocks and the mountains, according to Revelation 6, they say to the rocks and the mountains, fall on us and hide us from the face of the wrath of the Lamb. So at this point, these two have gone to heaven and they're together with Jesus, but we are still on the earth. Still, now we're both dead wicked. Make sense so far?
Yeah. Wait, no. At the coming of Christ, He will be resurrected, mm-hmm. and I'll be caught up with Him.
Right.
But because of you saw the glory of Christ, mm-hmm. the living dead will die.
The living wicked will die.
Living wicked will die.
So only Michelle remains.
That's right.
Who's the...
She was already dead.
Yeah.
So it's
only... I'm saying we are only waiting for her resurrection.
No. If there is a resurrection of the wicked, then both of us will be resurrected.
Oh, okay. I see. You will be dying.
Yeah. I will have tasted the death for the first time.
Okay. I thought what it meant was that, like, you're going to be gone forever. Like, at the glory of the Christ, you're going to... Yeah, that's what I thought. Mm. But then I guess not. So, okay. You're going to be sleeping, too.
Exactly. Okay. And, one Bible text that I can think of, if we go to Revelation chapter 20, Revelation 20 would be the place to go if you want to focus on...
thousand
years, millennium. We're looking at verse 6. Verse 6, the Bible says, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. So the Bible speaks again of 1,000-year time period over here, where they will be priests of God, and they'll reign with him. In other words, priests, there will be priests, and they will be kings. In the Old Testament times, priests and kings were oftentimes, especially a king, was used for the role of judging. Mm-hmm. I remember when the two ladies, two mothers, were together, and then one rolled over and killed her baby. They took it up to King Solomon to mm-hmm. reconcile. Kings were there to judge certain cases and issues. Kings are there for the purpose of judging. And so we are going to reign over this earth. Now, when we say we, I'm talking about the resurrected saints and mm-hmm. those who have never tasted of death. But the specific part that I want to bring out in verse 6, it speaks of the people who take part in the first resurrection, and it talks about them that the power of the second death does not have an effect upon them. Mm. Now, when we think of second death, by implication, what does that mean? There must have been a
first death.
Okay, so when we talk about first death, what are we talking about?
Just anyone dying.
So when Jesus died on the cross, did he die the first death or the second death?
First death.
Are you sure about that? Think about that.
Yeah.
So anybody who we say that Jesus died on the cross so that he paid our price for us by dying of the first death, that means that anybody else who died of the first death can pay their own price for salvation.
Okay, second death.
Yes, Jesus also paid the price of the second death as well.
Mm. Wait, so Jesus died 2 times?
He physically may have died. That's what the Bible calls the first uh-huh. death. Uh-huh. But there's something called the second death. That the people who are resurrected in the first resurrection, it will not touch them anymore. But guess what? There are another group of people who are going to face the second resurrection, and the power of the second death will face them. Which means, guess what? There's going to be a resurrection of the wicked, as Jesus says, and they are going to face the second death. Second death, meaning lake of fire. Mm. So, but while that is taking place.
Wait, so then Jesus was consumed by the lake of fire?
He had to have paid the, what are we talking about when we're talking about lake of fire? Is the price of sin literal burning of the flesh that is going to hurt people?
No.
Because really, I mean, if that's what's going to be it, then there have been people who have burned in inferno before.
Mm-hmm.
That's not mm-hmm. the ultimate consequence of sin. Ultimate consequence of sin, when the Bible says the wage of sin is death, is talking about total, entire separation from God. Total non-existence. And so what did Jesus face when he died on the cross? He did pay the price of the first death, but then that alone is not worthy to save us from our sin, because each one of us are destined to die the second death, which is the price that Jesus has paid, which was separation from God the Father.
Hmm.
Does that make sense now?
But does that say in the Bible that he did die second time?
Think about it logically. If Jesus died of the first death and that was enough to atone for our sins, then guess what? My grandfather can atone for my sin as well, because he died as well.
Mm-hmm.
There are other people who have died as martyrs, people who are about to be hit by a car and they push them out of the way, and in the process of saving another person, they themselves have died. Does that mean that their death is worthy of giving them eternal life? Absolutely not, because that's just the first death.
So when the wicked get resurrected and then they face the second death after resurrection?
Exactly. And so the Bible speaks of the second resurrection, which means previously they were already dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had to be
resurrected
again. When they are resurrected and living again, this is death. Previously they were dead, now they are alive.
Mm-hmm.
They will now have to face the second death and die again.
But isn't it kind of unfair, because like, I mean, I don't know, will there be people who like are repentant and won't, since God is a merciful God, wouldn't he give them a second chance to, you know, repent? Because if it says just they're all going to die, then isn't that kind of unfair?
Second chance? I think their whole life has been full of chances and opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
That is why God, you know, Bible says God is fair. Like, if I think when that time comes,
mm-hmm.
when they are about to face their eternal death, which means total separation from God, I believe that they get that because they deserve it. And their
sure.
judgment was done.
But so they're not going to feel repentant?
Well, here's the thing. Let's read on what the Bible says. We just read verse 6 of Revelation 20.
Mm-hmm.
I want to read on from verse 7 and on. It says in verse 7, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." Remember, he went into prison, verse 8. "And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." Now that is the second death. Fire coming down from out of heaven and devouring them.
Okay.
But you see what takes place. The holy city is now placed upon the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And God's saints are now there. And now Satan is loosed out of his prison for after 1,000 years are finished.
Mm-hmm.
And the wicked are now resurrected. And now Satan begins to deceive all of the people around them. Say, "Hey, look, we are as the sand of the sea. There's no way that these people can overthrow us. We outnumber them altogether."
So Satan is kind of like gathering his army?
Exactly.
Again?
And the Bible calls him Gog and Magog.
Oh.
And it kind of shows that Satan had a time period to repent of his sins for a period of
1,000 years
in prison.
Okay.
But then at the end of it all, he's not repentant, and therefore he goes to attack the holy city again. Same thing with the wicked people. God gives them opportunity to now, quote-unquote, repent, but he knows the inside of their hearts, and he knows that even if he were to give them opportunity, they were not to. But we can't just take his word for it. He has to show it to the entire world. And that's ultimately what it's all about. You see, God could destroy Satan immediately at Christ's second coming. But then imagine what will happen. I heard that there are going to be three surprises in heaven. Number one, we're going to be surprised that we're going to be there. Number two, we're going to be surprised that there are people who we thought were not going to be there who are going to be there. Can you imagine the face of Paul or face of what's his name, Stephen? When he finally sees Paul and he say, "Hey, what's this guy doing here? He stoned me." And Jesus will have to say, "Hey, actually, the reason why he is here is because this, this, and this." And he's like, "Ah, okay." But then there's a third surprise. There are people who we expected not to be there, and they are not there. And then we'll have to go through the books and see why is it so. But then even at the end of it all, the point is to reveal to one another that there is no question of the doubt that these people are sinners, and their actions do testify to it. And so there are a whole host of people who are wanting to know what is taking place, what ultimately is going to take place when Jesus comes down to bring the holy city onto this earth, and that he wants to show to the rest of the world that these people had an opportunity to repent, and they still are not repentant.
So you're saying this whole 1,000 years, a period, or like, you know, this event is trying to show to the world, or show to, you know, everyone that there is a great controversy taking place, and it has taken place, and now God is trying to prove that, like, why the wicked is wicked and the righteous is righteous.
Yeah. Remember, God can destroy Satan just like that, but then nobody will really know or be sure. Well, perhaps Satan has a history for deceiving people, but then there may be some people that we don't know about that needs to be clarified and say the reason why they never made it to heaven, first of all, and the reason why they are going to try to gather around to form the army of Gog and Magog and try to overtake the holy city.
Okay. Then what happens during the millennium? Or the 1,000 years?
We learned that there's going to be two resurrections now. And the millennium happens after the first resurrection. But before first resurrection, both of the death already happened, right? So now in this point, we can see that all the righteous will be up in heaven, and all the wicked will be dead. Okay, and if we go to Revelation 20, verse 1, it says here, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Okay, it says there, you kind of get the story, but there's one part that's very confusing. It says the word bottomless pit. Now we need to know what that bottomless pit is, and in order to understand what bottomless pit is, let's go to Jeremiah 4:23. For 23-25, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. Okay, stop right there. It says here that it was without form and void. Now, if we go back to the translation for Revelation 20, if you go back to translations in Greek, where it did, you know, that's how it was written. We translated English from the Greek. And it said that Greek word means...
Which Greek word?
of bottomless pit.
Okay, bottomless pit.
Okay, that Greek word means void and desolate.
Okay.
And empty. So that same thing, that same word is actually used in, the same meaning is actually used in Jeremiah 4:23. Mm-hmm. And you know how I read form and void.
Mm-hmm.
It was without form and void.
Mm-hmm.
So we could tell that the bottomless pit actually means emptiness. Or void.
So it's not a literal pit.
No, it's not a literal pit. If you go back mm-hmm. to the translation, it just when the person translated this, they just used bottomless pit because it does kind of
makes
sound
sense.
Like yeah mm-hmm. that, and that means that we could tell that during that time is when 1,000 years is gonna be happening, and Satan is gonna be chained. Not literally chained, but he's gonna have no one to deceive, because at that point all the wicked is dead and all mm-hmm. the righteous is up in heaven. So he mm-hmm. has no one in earth that he could deceive, which mm-hmm. you know his,
and that's why it's a prison for him, because
yeah.
you know
yes
yeah.
that's all he wants to do, that's him.
Mm-hmm.
He lives is in deception.
And as we mentioned before, that's the time when Satan can think about what he's done and have a time period to repent.
Yes, that's actually giving him time to think about it again and see what he did, and then maybe mm-hmm. giving him another chance to repent, which mm-hmm. We all know that he won't. And because... if you go to, I think you already mentioned it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why he won't repent.
Mean, the Bible does say that he won't, and so if the Bible says it, then it's going to take place.
Yeah, of course.
But then it is important that the rest of the world does see that he is not going to be repentant. Yeah, I mean, God could just say, hey, take my word for it. He's not going to repent. But then there's no evidence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. And what happens during that time? Well, we obviously know that wicked is dead,
mm-hmm.
and they have nothing. So that's it for wicked for now during the 1,000 years. But for the wicked, for the righteous, they're caught up in heaven. Now they're mm-hmm. all in heaven. And if we go to 1 Corinthians 6:3. Okay. It says, "Know ye not that we shall judge angels, how much more things that pertain to this life?" It says there that we're going to be judging angels.
Why would we judge angels? They're not fallen beings.
Yes. We know that... Well, I want to go to a different verse now. Mm-hmm. Revelation 12:4.
12?
Yes, 12:4. Revelation 12:4. And it says there, "And he drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." Okay? It says here that the third part of the stars of heaven was cast down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what that means is that's actually representing angels. Third of the angels that was up in heaven fell down to earth with Satan. Because they became fallen angels. Now, if we go back to 1 Corinthians 6:3, we says we'll be judging angels. Now, that obviously means we won't be judging angels that is already in heaven, because there is no need to judge angels that's in heaven. They're righteous angels. Now, we'll be judging the ones that has fallen, the third angels that fell, and we'll be judging them just like how God would judge the people, the wicked people.
So Satan has taken his army from the beginning.
Yes.
And from the heaven. Wow.
Right. So like.
And one third of them.
When we are thinking about what ultimately the Bible means when it says that we'll be reigning over the earth when we are in kind of a, so to say, kings of this mm-hmm. earth. It basically means that we'll be judging. Mm-hmm. We'll be able to see the books and, hey, my sister's not in heaven. Why not? And Jesus will open the books and say, hey, it's because at such and such date, such and such time, she had opportunity to repent, but she did not, and she continued in her sin. And people will say, ah, okay, now I understand, I know the reason why. And so we will have an opportunity to judge by looking at these books, not because God needs to be reminded, mm-hmm. but they're kept so that everybody else can see mm-hmm. the results mm-hmm. of it.
So yeah. those books are not for God mm-hmm. himself, but it's those
for
books
the evidence.
For, yeah, mm-hmm. for the evidence.
And same thing in the case of the fallen angels. Keep in mind also in Matthew chapter 25, towards the latter end, when he speaks of the sheep and the goat, he speaks of the goat and he says, "Go, because you did not feed me when I was hungry, because you did not give me drink when I was thirsty and clothe me, you will now go into utter darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and go into hell, which are prepared for devil and his angels." But then the Bible never says that the hell was really prepared for people to go into. Mm-hmm. And so ultimately our position really was supposed to be to judge angels, fallen angels. That was our main purpose. But then because there are some people who actually refuse to let go of their sins, and the hellfire that has been prepared for devil and his angels, people will eventually have to go mm-hmm. into it as well. Mm-hmm. But then it was never really meant to be.
So because it was... there's something called predestination, saying that we all will be saved mm-hmm. according to God if we do receive, mm-hmm. we say that we do believe in God.
God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Mm. So God's will is that everybody should repent. Mm.
And everyone should be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, but now I'm wondering, after this second death, and after Satan and everyone has been judged according to their works and according to what they have done, what happens after that?
Oh, at the end, as we've discussed, ultimately, mm-hmm. John describes in chapter 19 of Revelation how he sees the new heavens, new earth, coming down from God out of heaven. And this is the new Jerusalem. This is kind of like the new headquarters. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, as he brings this city down onto earth, he resurrects the wicked again, and Satan is loosed out of his prison. And, as we saw, the Bible says that he is going to deceive the world again to take over the holy city. Mm-hmm. And as they compass round about the holy city, everybody is trying to overtake it. But at that moment, fire comes down from God out of heaven, because everybody now can see with their own eyes that these people really are wicked to their bones. Mm-hmm. And so they deserve destruction. And so fire comes down from God out of heaven, burns everything, mm. even creation and everything, and God now recreates the world, mm. and that is ultimately the fulfillment of the plan of salvation. Mm. Now, when we think about these things, some people might be wondering, why do we even talk about this? What's the significance of it? Mm-hmm. I'll show you the reason why. Ecclesiastes, Ezekiel, chapter 37. In Ezekiel, there is a prophecy where Ezekiel is told to prophesy to a set of bones. He's in a valley. You know what a valley is, right? There are walls on each side, and he's in a dark place. And he sees right in front of him skulls and bones and people who died. And he sees these bones, and God asks him the question, can these bones live? And Ezekiel eventually just says, he doesn't say yes or no. He says, oh, you know. And he tells them to prophesy unto the bones. I often feel like I can understand Ezekiel at times when I preach to some people. It seems as if I'm preaching to dead people, to bones, dry bones. And he says, prophesy unto them. And you can imagine how that would have felt like. God, these are dead people. These are dead bones. Why would I prophesy to them? But he does it anyways. And as he is prophesying, eventually the dry bones come together and they start to fly with one another. They're all separate and everything, but the joints begin to match with one another, and eventually flesh starts to come all around them. And but then there's no life in them. They're still now they have flesh and blood and bones and everything, but there's no life. And so God tells Ezekiel, he says, prophesy into the wind and make the wind go into them. That's kind of where we pick up in verse 7. Verse 7, it says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Verse 9, then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he had commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. So the Bible says that as he prophesied, there stood before him not a multitude, only just a multitude of people, but a multitude with a specific purpose. Stood in front of him was a tremendous, exceeding great army. What are armies used for? Remind me again.
For fighting.
For fighting and for battle, right? Yes. For war. So there's a warfare that is about to take place. Well, if you read in chapter 38, right on the top of my Bible header, it says the army of Gog. Yeah. Gog and Magog. Where did we just read about that in Revelation 20? Revelation 20 speaks about army of Gog and Magog that are going to compass the city round about. But before that, there's to be a resurrection that is to take place. Mm. There's to be a time when people who used to be dead are now living. And I take that to mean not only physical resurrection, but a spiritual resurrection. Mm. Right now, we are fighting a great war against Gog and Magog. If we do not overcome the city of Gog and Magog, if we are not part of this great army, if we are not spiritually revived or resurrected, then we will not take part in the second resurrection. Just as we have to die the first time, the spiritual death, we will have to die the second time. If we should die the second time, God will resurrect us, and we will be in the newness of life. So that is the reason why this is ultimately important for us. If there are any one of us, anybody who is within the sound of my voice, who is listening and has not committed their life to Christ, this would be now the time to do so. Because ultimately, if we do not give our hearts to Christ, if we do not die the spiritual death now, we will be resurrected in the second death. Hmm. So, before we go on any further, let's make sure to make our calling and election sure, and be sure that we have submitted and given ourselves to Christ 100%.